Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
Those sent to the silver mines rarely come back to the world of men. The brown-toothed guard leers at the fresh prisoners, his bad teeth a lazy writer's trope to conflate lack of dental care with a kind of vicious, lustful slovenliness. The thin prisoners shiver in their clinking chains, despair in their hollow-eyed cheeks, 5 o'clock shadows in their sad-faced eyes. All but one prisoner whose eyes blaze with a banked rebellion, a fire of hope simmering behind cunningly lowered lashes, smart mouth lipped caught captivatingly between white teeth. Our hero, betrayed to our interested gaze by their anachronistically good orthodontistry, mutters something under their improbably minty breath. "What was that?" oys the brutal guard, gleefully anticipating the opportunity to inflict what is called discipline in this extremely uncommercial operation. "What did you say?" He leans into the unusually buff prisoner whose dirt is so much more alluringly placed than his chainmates. "I said," says our hero, "this is the gargle." This is The Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world. I am your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are, in order of arrival into this Zoom call, Joz Norris.
Hello.
And Nabil Abdul Rashid. Welcome.
So, I did. Yeah.
I loved that guard, by the way. I felt
the guard.
Your choice of voice really brought him alive. I could see everything.
Thank
I thought
you.
It was fantastic. He had a lot going on.
I didn't know what voice I was going to do until I started doing the voice. So it was as
great.
Much
he
revelation.
Was more well-rounded than the hero, I thought.
I wasn't sure how the hero, but then I sort of wanted to keep the hero sort of
yeah,
ambiguous.
Yeah, he's like an audience surrogate, I guess. He's got a sound.
Yeah.
Sound like you. But that guard, oh boy.
Oh boy. I think I got to cast him in something.
Yeah.
That's my audition for being a nasty guard.
I'd cast you. Immediately.
My slow, ambitious rise towards being cast as a villain in an action movie, which is all I've ever really wanted, despite having never done anything that would take me in that direction.
I think it starts today. People will hear that and go, absolutely, that's the next step.
Yeah, but before we chain ourselves together and start breaking the rocks that are this week's top stories, let's have a look at our front cover. The front cover this week is The Pope, dressed in Balenciaga by artificial intelligence. The Pope has announced he will for the first time allow women to vote at an influential global meeting of bishops in October, a move that has been described as diagonal. Are you pro women having a vote in the church, Joz?
Yeah, I think so. I never really pay much attention to what's going on in the church. I guess it makes sense that they haven't yet allowed women to have votes because they're generally pretty kind of behind, right? But I think that sounds like a good move. This Pope's all right, isn't he? Didn't they make a documentary recently where he chatted to like Gen Zers and he actually said a lot of like cool stuff? Like they're gradually getting around to just kind of being normal, maybe.
Yes, there's sort of conflicted sayings about whether he is the cool Pope or whether he's just the cool face of a deeply corrupt institution that should collapse, etc., etc.
Yeah,
certainly
yeah.
better than the last Pope who was a Nazi, so...
Yeah. Yeah, baby steps.
Baby steps.
Over thousands of years.
Well, it's hard for them to move forward. They're weighed down by all that money.
Yeah.
The satirical cartoon this week is a deepfake video of a car with the face of a man announcing new safety features while driving off a cliff. Do you trust AI, Nabil?
No, I don't. I do not trust AI at all. I mean, even Siri is hard enough for me. I swear, even my Google Nest thingy here, I'm pretty sure it eavesdrops. Because recently I had like the in-laws over and like one half of my family was slagging off the other half in the kitchen, and Google just decided to broadcast it into the living room. I swear, that's AI trying to destroy our family, right? I don't understand why we're even developing AI. Like, seriously, like, they just caught them mid-sentence, like, oh my God, she's 2 years old, what? And then they cut off. I'm like, hey, like, what the hell? You know, Terminator, John Connor, we've been warned. Why are we doing this? The only comfort I have is that when AI starts to take over the world, I have an escape plan. I can go to Nigeria because I'll be safe because we have power cuts. We rarely have electricity for longer than 3 or 4 days. So their revolution run out of juice. They'll never defeat us. But England and America are screwed. Nah, man, I hate AI. I don't like it.
I mean, yeah, but how long before AI just says it has ADHD and that's why it cuts out every 4 days and is useless for a while?
I mean, in the near future, I can see English AI complaining that it's being outsourced to Indian AI. Like, the amount of problems. Wouldn't it be funny if, like, AI gets racist to each other if it's all developed in different countries? That would be fantastic.
I mean, it's all trained on the internet, so I guarantee it will.
Yeah. Have you been in a Call of Duty lobby before? If not, I don't suggest you go.
I'm only there when I want to leak secret government information. Our top story this week is Polly Wanna Filter news now, which is the news that parrots in a study have been taught to video call each other and ends up making them feel less lonely. Jos Norris, you did a lot of Zooming during the pandemic. Can you unpack this story for us?
Well, so yeah, they've done this study where they taught parrots to Zoom one another, and they gave them a choice of which parrot they could call, and they found that the ones that called other parrots more often were the ones that other parrots then chose to call more often, and it resulted in a sort of a drop off of like lonely behavior. Apparently they do a lot of like, they'll pluck their own feathers out and they'll kind of sit and just look quite sad. And that dropped off and they became much more playful and much more engaged the more they called. So I found it really hard reading this story because I think objectively this seems like a good thing and it's helping the parrots out. And there are a lot of lonely parrots. I think people get them and then they don't necessarily understand that they're quite high maintenance pets and they kind of leave them to sit in a corner. But I think that like screen addiction is such a widespread problem at the moment. And I really hate the idea, like, we're now dragging animals down with us. I feel like the animal kingdom is one of the few places where they don't have to worry about this stuff and they don't have it on their brains all the time. And I'm so tired of like going to restaurants and seeing that everybody's on their phone and there'll be like couples on their phones scrolling and that sort of thing. And the idea that you visit your friend who has a parrot and your friend is sat there on their phone and then the parrot is in its cage on its phone because it can't be bothered to engage with anyone in real life. I just think it's never ending, you know? And I think the end result of this is that you end up going to the zoo and you can't see any of the animals. Like all the penguins are kind of doom scrolling, so you can't see them. And then you go to try and kind of have a moment with a lion and sort of connect face to face, but it won't really look you in the eye because it keeps getting notifications and it keeps looking at that. And I think this is a sort of a dystopian thing where like, for now, it's just us. Like it's just us that are being... having our minds destroyed by this stuff. And I think it's a real shame to drag them down with us. I don't like it.
I was at the zoo just the other day and I was trying to take a selfie with a giraffe and it had its back to me because it was trying to take a selfie with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if dogs made Instagram pages for their humans like we do for them? Like, oh, look at him. He only ever walks on all fours when he comes back from that weird smelling place he goes to. Oh, man. I quite like the idea of parrots being on social media. Like, can you imagine a world where parrots then develop ADHD and spend all their time repeating Instagram sounds? You know, like, you know, like all the doom, doom, and doo, ba-doo, 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 doo, doo. We could then use them to do the background songs instead of editing them into our videos. And then Instagram will stop taking down my goddamn videos because it's not me playing the song. It's my parrot singing them. Hey, Instagram.
Yep. Then your parrot gets a copyright strike. What a disaster.
They're definitely the most sort of social media appropriate animal, I think. If you were going to choose an animal to give a social media addiction, I think it would be parrots because they come across quite show-offy, quite vain. So I think maybe if we choose to leave it at that, that we say, okay, We'll give the parrots Instagram accounts, but everything else we'll leave in its natural state, because they can talk as well. You know, they're already nearly there.
And it's good PR, because the whole pirates thing really was terrible for them. So it's yeah. nice that they're trying to reshape their image, you know?
Yeah. Make them into influencers.
Well, my full awareness of parrots was out of basically Tintin books and detective novels, where they would solve a crime by being a voice memo, essentially. Yeah. The worst cameo ever. I killed him. The man in the black hat, or whatever.
I didn't know they actually spoke. I think I assumed that that was like a film or storybook trope for years. And then I met a parrot that said hello to me. And I thought I'd walked into like a kind of magical realism adventure, because I didn't realize that they actually did that. It blew my mind. And then someone went, no, they do that. That's the thing.
Some lovely audience member who works at the aquarium gave my daughter a novelty floating duck toy, bath duck, but it's a narwhal duck.
Oh.
And I am quite stressed out by it, because I have to explain to my child, Laser Fraser, a world in which a narwhal exists, but a narwhal duck does not exist.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of concepts to introduce and then deconstruct and then reconstruct. It's like Heston Blumenthal's pea, where he boils it down to the molecules and then turns the molecules back into a pea. You've got to do that.
Oh, a pea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. I should have clarified.
I wouldn't put it past him.
No.
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. And this section of the show is brought to you by you, if you want it to be. And why wouldn't you? You're the best you can be. If you would like to run an ad on The Gargle, email us at hellobuglers@thebuglepodcast.com and tell us what you'd like us to advertise, and then we'll do a deal about it. And this section of the show is brought to you by the Australian Institute Against Cats. I know you love your cat, but your cat. Sorry, your cat in Australia. I'm sorry. I'm sure your cat is lovely individually, but it is a colonizer, and not even in the charmingly post hoc way that just living in Australia as a non-Indigenous person automatically makes you a colonizer, because cats in Australia are still killing literally millions of native species all night long. People are all like, but cats, which is the same argument that yuppies used to use against vegetarians in the 90s. But bacon. Cats are the bacon of Australian wildlife preservation failure, and no, you don't get a pass for being a crazy cat lady, despite our cultural bigotries that frame lonely old women as powerless and pitiable. Sorry, Gladys, no pass for you and your 14 fluffy, blood-drenched berserkers. Your adorable little friendship slaves still slaughter native birds and marsupials and little Australian creatures. Crazy old cat lady is no excuse. Fewer cats, more mental health services for you, we say. Next time you want to acquire a cat, try instead reaching for half a glass of water to put in a bird bath for some native rainbow lorikeets. And interior design tips from our sponsor this week. Jazz up your house with some rustic word art. I know we've all seen Live, Laugh, Love, but have you thought of making it long form? The full poem, actually, goes Live, Laugh, Love, Glib, Park, Dove, Shiv, Dark, Glove, Death, Night, Blood, Come, Death, Come, Laugh, Breathe, Try, Live, Laugh, Die. So try putting that over your toilet.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Your tech relationship news now. This is the news that people would totally bang robots if given the option. Nabil, you're wearing a headset right now and looking very robot-y. Can you unpack this story for us?
Well, I mean, hearing that, to be honest, isn't even that much of a surprise. Do you like my robotic tone?
Yes, very good.
I will stop doing this because it's cultural appropriation. I am a boy who grew up in the 90s, so that means half of my friends had crushes on video game characters like Lara Croft. So essentially, this is just the next step in computer-related degeneracy. You know, and besides, like, you know, women have kind of had relationships with mechanized partners for a long time. So I think now we're going further. We should have more streamlined relationships with technology. I just think that, you know, how do we combat this? What will there be a new string of AI viruses that come from these relationships? Will we have to have relationship coaches that come in that have a background in IT? It just opens up so many possibilities.
Have you tried turning her off and then turning her back on again?
It doesn't work with me. Yeah, I think, hey, like, in for a penny, in for a pound, you know, why not? I think men have been doing, you know, when it comes to stuff like hentai and so on, this is the thing. I think the world is slowly turning into Japan, and I'm here for it.
I think, you know, men are going to be into this, women are going to be into this, but non-binary people, I think, are not going to get on board.
Sending unsolicited pictures of hard drives to people, you know, this is...
And it's a question of, like, what kind of a personality are they going to have? Are they going to be low resolution? Are they going to be a pixel me girl? Joss?
I found this study really weird where this story has come from, because what they did is they found that... they asked people a load of questions about whether they'd have relationships with robots, and people gave their answers. And then they brought them back a week later and showed them a 10-minute porn video and then asked them the same questions. And they found that people said they were more likely to have sex with a robot after watching the porn video. But I don't know if that necessarily gives us any answers that are specific to robotics, because all that tells us is just... if you make people horny, then you're going to get hornier answers out of them. And people go, well, yeah, probably now, because you've shown me that. So it didn't have to be about robots. They could have said, like, would you have sex with an egg? And they'd be like, yeah, probably, because you showed me that video. And now it's on my mind. So I don't think it necessarily proves anything about robots.
Did they specify what kind of porn it was?
No, it didn't specify. Right. Yeah, so I don't know if it was porn of people having sex with robots.
Like, was it a receptionist getting on with a photocopier?
Yeah, I don't know how much they steered people. But they did find that the second time round, the answers about having sex with robots went up, but the answers about whether or not anyone could love a robot remained the same. So people's feelings on that weren't changed. But again, I don't think that tells us much about robots. I think that tells us that what people think about robots is directly connected to what the last film they saw was. So maybe to make people love a robot, you have to show them Before Sunset or something like that. And then maybe if they ask other questions, if they show them like Cool Runnings, and then they go, hey, would you start a bobsled team with a robot? Then everyone will go, yeah, I would do that actually, because I just saw that film. So I think all it tells us really is that if you show someone a film and then ask them a question about that film, they'll probably say yes. I don't know if we know anything about our attitude to robots as a result of this study.
I feel certainly now that I've learned less about myself.
Yeah.
Did anyone catch that film? Was it Megan about the robotic doll?
Oh, yeah, the killer. No, I missed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, good, yeah, it? If you just watch that, then I know what your answers would be. Because definite no.
No way.
Babysitter, maybe, but partner, no.
No, thank
you. Terrible.
I don't have emotional room for a robot in my life. I'm Zoom calling too many parrots. Parrots are a great relationship partner. They just say back to you what you say to them. It's a really, like, beautiful mirroring, listening kind of vibe.
Yeah. Now you've mentioned the idea of zooming one myself, I think I'm now pro. I was just imagining parrots zooming each other, and I thought, they don't need that. But actually, if I get to zoom one, I'd love that. That would be great. Although I guess I could just get a parrot.
I mean, if you zoom a parrot, you have to dress up as a parrot and pretend to be a parrot. Oh, that's the only...
Because they don't know they're on Zoom, right? Because parrots think that their reflections are other parrots. They don't know the difference between a Zoom and a reflection and an actual parrot. They're idiots, really. They don't know what they're doing.
Now it's time for your reviews. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. Nabil, what have you brought in for us this week?
Well, as you may be well aware, I am a patriotic Nigerian. I'm also very homesick, but can't quite go to my hometown because of a friendly group of guys known as Boko Haram. But that's fine, because I have something here that encapsulates the Nigerian spirit. This is agege bread. Bread so inclusive, you can't say it without saying gay twice. Now, agege bread, in case you're wondering, no, a rat has not chewed agege bread. I need to explain. Agege bread represents the Nigerian spirit because other types of bread come sliced already for you. In Nigeria, agege bread, it comes unsliced. You choose how much of it you want to eat and how you want to eat it. You don't have to slice it. You can just rip it off like we all do. You can dunk it in your tea. You can even hit your kids with it when they're being annoying. And it leaves no marks. I'm just joking. Agege bread, this is Nigeria, okay? Have it your way. There are no rules. You do what you want. It comes in all sizes, but the best size is big. If you haven't eaten agege bread, you're probably racist and you should eat some. I give agege bread a rating of, I would say 3 out of 5, because we like to bitch about stuff and we never give 5 stars in Nigeria, because there's always something you can complain about. That's the one thing we have in common with our colonizers, the British. Agege bread, amazing. Get some. And also, it's great for your cholesterol.
Agege bread sounds like the best thing since sliced bread.
You...
Jaws, what have you brought in for us?
I wanted to review, I've gone a bit conventional this week, and I just wanted to review a film that's out. I wanted to review the Super Mario Brothers movie because I had a kind of like a bit of a metaphysical experience watching the Super Mario Brothers film, because all it does is it's just watching a film of the Super Mario games, and Mario kind of jumps around some mushroom lands and kind of jumps on some turtles and gets some power-ups and then fights Bowser. It's what you'd expect, but it's completely literal to the games. Mario has to complete levels in it, and he gets power-ups, and then if he gets hit, then he loses the power-up, which is all exactly transposed from the game. And I realized I when I played them, I sort of thought they were like a metaphor in a way, or they were like a game version of what Mario did. I never thought that he actually like jumps around and gets power-ups and completes levels. I kind of thought he's in a mushroom world and he's probably doing stuff with turtles, but I thought the stuff I was doing, the game stuff, was sort of like an abstract rendering of what his life was actually like, and that maybe it represented something else I didn't really understand, something
two
about like
forward,
the nature of life
back,
or yeah that kind of thing,
taxes,
yeah. So then to watch the film and to go like, no, that's it, that's what he does, I felt so confused by it. I was like, but this isn't what Mario, this isn't his life. This is what we play. He does something else. And I can't really work out what to think of it. Because as a film, it does exactly what it wants to do. It, you know, it's a fun version of the Mario games. But it made me go back and question everything about the way in which I've consumed media and the way in which I've just kind of experienced the world going back 25, 30 years. And that's a really kind of confusing experience to have in the middle of a glossy shit kids film. So I can't really work out what I think about it. I don't know if it's a silly, fun, entertaining film for the family, or whether it's a sort of a harrowing Black Mirror version of like the way in which we move through the world. So overall, I give it 3 out of 5. And Jack Black does a lovely song in it.
Oh, I mean, this sounds exactly like my entire teenagehood, where my brother and his friends would play video games and I was not allowed to play. So I just had to watch other people play video games.
Yeah. It is like that. You're just watching other people play. There's you know the bit in Mario Kart where you have to design your kart?
Yes.
They do that. The characters do that. But I thought that was me doing that. But then Mario goes on the wheel and he chooses what wheels to have and what body. I was like, well, that's the game. That's not... Mario doesn't do that. I do that.
Mario doesn't play the game. I play Mario.
Yeah. It was very confusing.
Well, who am I in this scenario if Mario is Mario? If Mario is playing Mario, am I just playing myself?
Yeah, who's playing me?
Mm.
It's a confusing film.
Activity snack news now, and this is the news that walking for 3 minutes every half hour could help improve blood sugar levels. As a Gargle host, of course, I have to be pro small incremental health benefits, such as walking for 3 minutes every half hour or drinking half a glass of water. Nabil, how do you feel about it?
I mean, walking for 3 minutes every half an hour. So basically, they're saying moving more is good for you. Didn't we know that already? Like, who are these scientists to just sit down and find out stuff that we already knew? Like, apparently, the less poison you eat every day, the less likely you are to die. Don't walk through Croydon and swear at strangers. Like, if that's the case, I should be a scientist. What the hell is this? Like, falling from high heights might be bad for your bones and self-esteem and employment prospects. Like, what other opinion can I have other than, okay, that's great. But then also, where are you walking to for 3 minutes? Like, what, you walking around your house every 30 minutes? Don't we all move for at least 3 minutes every half hour? Surely nobody is stationary all day and doesn't do at least, 12 minutes of walking in a day, like back and forth. Hell, it took me 3 minutes just to get to the toilet earlier. How is this? I don't get it. Who is this for?
Someone's got a big house.
I'm just really slow, dude. I walk with a strut, okay? Especially when I'm about to lay the law down in the toilet. Yeah. I walk in there like I own that, because I do. But still... Me at home is the epitome of walking around like you own the place. Pay the cost to be the boss.
Sometimes, even if you own something, you have to express your dominance. I was on a Zoom call with my baby and her friend, who's also a baby, the other day. Like parrots, babies quite like talking to each other over Zoom. And she, weirdly, both babies at the same time, reached for our bras and pulled down our bras and latched on, like maintaining eye contact as a real form of like... dominant signaling of like, this is my boob. Jaws, how do you feel about walking for 3 minutes every half hour?
I thought I'm up for it. I like the idea. I saw that one of the things they were suggesting as a result of this study was that they said if you're working somewhere and you're sat at your desk all day, then you could schedule your phone calls to coincide with a walk so that you do you don't get to lose out on office time. And I hate phone calls. I really, really, really hate phone calls. I think they fill me with dread. And the same with voice notes. And I think this is quite a millennial thing. Apparently, like, millennials really don't like having phone calls, especially if they don't know they're coming. It's really like, oh, what's this going to be? So I really hate them. So I quite like the idea of getting a job where I'm allowed to take a walk every time I have to do a phone call. And I guess my worry would be that lots and lots of millennial candidates start faking diabetes or giving themselves diabetes in order for them to go, oh, this means that I have to go for a walk every time I need to take a phone call, because it's just something to alleviate the horror of doing it. Because I can't take a phone call unless I'm walking around the block. As soon as anything comes in, I have to go outside and then walk around for a bit, because I've got to expunge the dread from my body of the whole thing. So I think if I were given like a legitimate reason by my boss to leave the building every time someone calls me, I would go, yeah, I'll do that. So I guess that's my concern, is are we going to give more anxious millennials diabetes by telling them that they can go for a walk whenever they get a phone call? Hopefully not.
My favourite thing to do is to schedule a phone call and then take a walk but leave my phone at home at the scheduled time so that...
Whoa, so you just don't, you don't do the phone call?
Just don't do the phone call.
Oh my God, that's clever. Do you not get in trouble?
I mean, I just made it up, so no.
Oh, for a minute, I thought it was the cleverest thing I'd ever heard in my life.
And it turned out it was the stupidest. No. Business news now. Speaking of business, Bed Bath & Beyond has filed for bankruptcy, bringing to Bed Bath & Beyond Beyond. What is Beyond Beyond for Bed Bath & Beyond? I don't know. Jos Norris, you've sat on a couch before. Can you unpack this story for us?
This is very sad news. Obviously, it's a beloved brand that's having to shut its doors. It's Bed Bath & Beyond, and also their sort of associate brand, which is called Bye Bye Baby, which is specifically selling baby products. Both of them are shutting down. They're filing for bankruptcy.
Yeah,
it's a sad thing.
Bye Bye Baby.
But I was looking at the business and trying to work out where they might have gone wrong. And I think it's in the names. I think that's what's confusing, because I think so. Bye Bye Baby is a good pun written down, because it's spelled B-U-Y, as in because you're going to buy stuff for your baby. So that's a great pun. But if you say it out loud, what it sounds like is that you're going to lose your baby somehow. That you're leaving your baby in some way, which is the worst possible message for a baby brand to give out, I think. So that doesn't work. And Bed Bath & Beyond, it said that when it started, it was called Bed & Bath in the 1970s because it sold beds and it sold baths. So that was nice and clear. And then they started selling more stuff and they called it Bed Bath & Beyond. And I think that's too vague as a name, because I think when you go into Bed & Bath, you know what you're getting. And if they'd called it like Bed Bath and Bits and Bobs, then I would think, okay, it's going to sell beds and it's going to sell baths and it's going to sell some other stuff. But Bed Bath & Beyond suggests to me that they sell beds and they sell baths and they sell everything else that isn't a bed and a bath. Like anything I can imagine beyond bed and bath, they sell. So then they're kind of putting a contract in the customer's head where if you go in and have a request and they say, oh, no, we don't sell that, you're going to feel cheated as a customer. You know, well, you told me you sold everything beyond bed and baths. So I just think there's been some regrettable decisions made in the naming of these two companies. And it's a real shame.
I agree, because first of all, it sounds like they sell bed baths.
Yeah.
Which sounds like a wet way to sleep. And also, they're not selling just bed and bath. They're selling things for your bed.
Yeah,
and
bedroom
things for
stuff
the bath and things for the beyond. Is this post-death merch? I don't...
Being
a
scented
candle to take with you into the afterlife.
It's too infinite. It suggests kind of the eternal, the word beyond. And it's a confusing mix of stuff.
Get buried in a bed bath.
The only way it could have been worse is if they said bed bath and yonder.
Yeah.
Getting buried in a bed bath, you know, have like little candles as you lie down there. You have like a dirt bath as they bury you. I don't know, man. I think the other thing is this. We found over the pandemic that hygiene has not been the biggest concern over here in the UK. I mean, people needed to almost die to be convinced to wash their hands. So anything that says bath might not be very popular. And Lord knows we don't get enough sleep in this country either. I'd say, if anything, Body Shop is next. You know, the good thing is, though, apparently Bed Bath & Beyond had very clean accounts. Were they money laundering?
I mean, what is a bed bath but a water mattress with a puncture in it?
And slowly seeping out.
Sounds like a metaphor for life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Bed Bath & Beyond also sounds like a metaphor for life, just very pragmatic.
Sounds like a really messed up continuation of Star Trek. We've had Voyager, Deep Space Nine, Bed, Bath and Beyond. These are the voyages to boldly go where no bather has gone before.
And that brings us to the end of this show. I'm flipping through the ad section at the back. Have you got anything to plug, Nabil?
Yes, I will be doing a full run at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year. From the 2nd to the 27th of August, I will be at the Pleasance, the Beside, and my show is called The Purple Pill. Yes, The Purple Pill. All are welcome. Please come. It's going to be fun. And I'll be on from 6 every day.
Jos Norris, have you got anything to plug?
I don't really have anything specific to plug at the moment. I'm not doing Edinburgh this year for the first time, which is normally such a big kind of deadline that I now find myself sort of, I'm working on lots of bits and pieces, but I don't know what they will turn into or when necessarily. But if people go to josnorris.co.uk or follow me on Twitter and things like that, they can look at what I'm up to. And I promise that at some point, some stuff might come out. But at the moment, I don't know exactly what it will be.
I mean, you also have a lot of pre-existing stuff available.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there's plenty of, like, there's an old radio sitcom you can listen to from October. I'd love you to listen to that on BBC Sounds.
Old, from October. It's still new. Come on.
Oh, yeah, I say old. It's new. It's newish. Yeah, I'd love people to listen to that.
It's really good. I highly recommend it.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'd like to thank our roving reporters this week. Sending in the parrot video call story was John Birch, Balenthian, Dr. Selena, Dave Levitan, all sent that story in, and the People Banging Robot story was sent in to us by Moosefulus, which is a great name. If you'd like to be a roving reporter for The Gargle, tweet us at HelloGarglers on Twitter, which is where we are still for now. We're riding this right down to the ground like Dr. Strangelove. We will be doing The Gargle live in Edinburgh. Splashy announcement noise. Ped, can you do a splashy announcement noise? The Gargle live in Edinburgh on the 15th and the 22nd of August. If you're in Edinburgh on either the 15th or the 22nd of August, or both, you can come and see us at 3:10 p.m. at the Newtown Theatre. Tickets are on sale at thebuglepodcast.com/live. And once you've bought tickets for that, you buy tickets for my show, Twist, which will also be in Edinburgh at 8:30 p.m. at the Gilded Balloon. I'll also be in Sydney and in Tokyo, but find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. I have writing meetings and workshops every week, so if you'd like to write with me from $1 a month, you can sign up at patreon.com/AliceFraser. At some point, I will start charging more for what are weekly workshops and probably quite valuable to some of the people who are there. That's it from me. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.